morning, everyone. Well, it's morning for me, anyway. Welcome to Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, episode 36. This episode is our first of the hiatus after our big live stream 2 weeks ago for the season finale. And the first big event that's happened during the hiatus is the Wolfsbane specific mini convention, like 3-day hotel convention in the UK, which is the first Teen Wolf con. I'm just thinking, is it the first Teen Wolf con in the world? Because I feel like we had a weird tiny one in Australia. We have like really bad 1-day ones, but I think I'm mixing it up with something else.
Not sure, because I met two Australians that were there and they never mentioned.
Okay, like, I might be mixing it up with something else, some other fandom that had a, like, I swear, like 2 years ago they did something. Anyway, it's irrelevant. It's the first big deal. It's the first big deal, sort of specific con done by, you know, it's not levels of, you know, Comic Con or even Leaky Con, but it's a fandom specific con, which are a very popular thing to do in the UK. They do them for Supernatural, Doctor Who, you know, Torchwood, various other sci-fi shows, and they always manage to get in a really good range of guests for an unofficial con. And our good friend and contributor Donya was, you know, is based in the UK and was able to make it to the con, where she spent the weekend having fun and hugs and no sleep or something, and also had
amazing.
No sleep is pretty much the theme of my weekend.
So basically we're just here today to talk to her about what happened at the con, about any interesting news or insights to the actors that were there, what her experiences were, whether she met anyone that knew the podcast or, you know, anything like that, because she did a lot to do with the podcast over the weekend and she's got some announcements in regards to that, so that's fun. So as usual, Twitter, Tumblr, email, I'm like, do I have to read it out? Yes. Just in case it's anyone's first episode, sorry. Our Twitter is natwpodcast. Our email is natwpodcast@gmail.com. And our Tumblr is notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com. And you can follow us or message us anywhere there. Yeah, the Tumblr is very active during the day with news and artworks and stuff. And the Twitter is sort of more of a personal, obviously, one-on-one communication, as Twitter tends to be. But getting straight into it, obviously me and Karen are here to sort of grill Donya about what happened this weekend. So hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you want to hear about my dream before we get into this?
Yes.
Yes, I'm very curious. You always have the best dreams.
I was about 10 minutes late for the podcast this morning because I woke up really oddly and I was very confused because I had a dream, and in the dream I knew that we were doing the podcast, but I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I have to rewatch the episode because I know something happened in the middle of the episode, and I had basically what I dreamed about is watching an episode of Teen Wolf that doesn't exist, because I'll tell you in a minute what happens in it. And that we were doing a podcast on that episode this morning, and that I had to rewatch the episode, but I didn't have time, that I missed a big chunk of it in the middle. And then when I woke up, I'm, oh, no, we're doing an episode about Wolfsbane. I don't need to watch anything. It's fine. I was very confused. But what happened in the episode was, number one, there was someone, I don't know who, had been, like, blown up giant-sized. I mean, like, not like Twin Wolf giant. I mean, like, a giant, like probably 30 feet high. Not even Hagrid giant, massive, because their clothes were, like, I didn't see who it was, but, like, there was an event where, like, they must have started getting naked in the sky or something, because there was just random, like, jackets and underwear of, like, giant, like, bedsheet-sized flying down. But the cliffhanger at the end of the episode, we're like, oh my God, this is happening. It was all a very big dramatic thing focused around Lydia. I don't know why. There were people, like Men in Black type people or Initiative type people, who had weird things on the side of their heads, like slightly like, not like technology, like a weird like sort of alien, like half flesh thing on the side of their head. But anyway, they started doing something and Lydia sort of started like screaming. And then her, like, eyes started glowing and her face started opening and her throat started opening, not in a gory way, like in like a robot way. And it turns out Lydia was a robot and has been a robot the whole time. And the weirdest thing about this is for some reason I was like, I remember going to you guys like online or whatever. I remember being like, I told you she was a robot. Like it has been like something that was up for speculation. And so it was very odd. But the image of her like opening into this robot and like it was like perfect. It was shot exactly like a Teen Wolf, like dramatic like reveal is shot, and it was just so weird. But yeah, what do you guys think of Robot Lydia? Oh, how do you think that would suit the show?
Well, so it would be a twist. It sounds very Buffy-esque.
It was so weird. I don't even know.
There are actual tears in my eyes right now.
I'm sorry. Anyway, that's wasted a good 5 minutes. Let's move on swiftly, unless anyone has anything else to discuss about how to prevent these dreams or otherwise how to pitch this idea to Jeff Davis. Anyway, so Wolfsbane was this weekend, and it was in a hotel, a convention, like a hotel often used for conventions out near Heathrow Airport. They put them out near the airport because those hotels are like, yeah, as I said, good for conventions, but usually it's like, oh, I'm flying in from Germany for a dental convention, you know, not a Teen Wolf convention. My first question is, was there any other conventions in the hotel at the same time where they were like, what is this Teen Wolf thing? Because I've heard many a lol story about people who go to, like, anime conventions at the same time there's, like, a Scientology convention in the same hotel as them, and it's, like, two cons, like, mixing in a weird you know, they just look at each other in the lift being like, what is this? So any other cons present at the hotel?
There wasn't. They had a board up at the front of, like, you came in through, like, these massive double glass doors, and there was, like, a huge screen right at the front, and it would tell you, like, what was on at what time and which convention it was. And Wolfsbane was actually the only convention at the hotel the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. There were other guests in and out.
I bet they enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's always a little bit strange sometimes when you see people going for breakfast in the morning and you're queuing for stuff, and they're all like, "What are they doing? Why is there a group of about 50 to 60 people queuing downstairs at 6 in the morning?"
Yeah. How many times did you get asked that? How many times did you get how many times did you get, what are you doing? What's going on? What's this for? Like,
I got asked a couple of times about what was up and what we were doing. So, yeah, the amount of times I had to explain that we were here for a Teen Wolf convention, and then the strange looks I got of, like, what's a Teen Wolf?
Teen Wolf. What? You mean this isn't the One Direction show? Another thing I wanted to ask about, and I mean, I'll get into it more in a moment, is you said, like, queuing at, like, 6 in the morning and stuff like that. And I saw people online going down to queue for panels very early, which is something I've never seen except for Comic-Con. Like, I've been to other conventions, like smaller ones, like our one-day conventions here or two-day conventions for pop culture and, you know, even LeakyCon. And people didn't, I mean, part of it, I think, was with LeakyCon, they weren't allowed to, I don't think, but people didn't queue that early for their panels, like, no matter who the guests were. Were the panel rooms really small? Were they not big enough to fit all of the guests? Because, all of the attendees? Because I was really surprised by the times you guys were queuing.
The queuing thing was actually for the coffee lounges. So each coffee lounge would only sit 25 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was essentially the first 25 people in the queue, depending on which coffee lounge you wanted.
And
you had to pay for those as well on top of your ticket price. So they were an extra.
Did you have to pay for the chance, or did you just pay once you got in? If you were one of the 25.
Yeah, you paid once you got in if you were one of the 25. So I think the first day, so for the Saturday, I was queuing from 4 o'clock in the morning. And
till I think they started selling at 8:15.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Okay, that's not too bad. It's not like, oh, you queuing right up until, you know, 5 p.m. at night or something like that.
No, no. So you kind of, you came down, you queued, and the people who were in the queue were lovely. Like, we all kept each other company. We tended to, like, just ask questions back and forth about the show, got into some really interesting sleep-deprived discussions about the show as well, considering some people had actually been there from earlier. So, yeah, no, it was great. And then you get in, you get your tickets. So for the first day, I ended up getting Tyler Hoechlin's and Kiahu's coffee lounges, which were the two that I absolutely 100% had wanted for the first day. So, yeah, and then I did the same the second day as well, but I was queuing up from 3 a.m. for that one.
What exactly were the coffee lounges? Are they just sort of like what, like interviews, or were they just like a hangout? Like, is it just like a one on, like a signing session? What exactly happened?
It was just like a small room with a circle of chairs, 25 chairs, and then the guest would sit at the head of the circle, basically. So there was like a little gap and they would sit at the front of it. And yeah, it was anything from like just casual little discussions, or you could ask questions, and they asked us questions as well, like to find out what we did, which was also quite interesting, because they were just about as interested in us as we were in them, which yeah, was also kind of really cool.
So in general, who were the guests at the con? I mean, most people know most of the people, you know, have been following it online, but to run through, who were the guests at the con?
So we had Hoechlin, Cinqua, Kiahu, Lyndon, JR, Melissa, and Stephen Lunsford. Yeah. Cool. We're nice guests that haven't been seen at a lot of conventions before, which was really nice. So, you know, you obviously get the usual kind of, you would get like Daniel Sharman, you'll usually get Crystal and Holland and Dylan and Posey. And I know Posey was originally supposed to be going, but I think it was, for me at least, a lot nicer to get maybe some of the cast members that most of the time you wouldn't get a chance to interact with, because they don't tend to go to the other conventions. So it was cool to be able to talk to them and get insights into the show from another perspective. That was something that was very, very interesting to me, and what was the most exciting thing about the whole weekend. Definitely.
I'm glad that Cinqua was there, just because, you know, now that he's gone from the show, it's just kind of nice to still have him as a part of the fandom.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of the cool thing about, like, being a part of a sci-fi show, I think. Like, those kind of people, like, I mean, they can't obviously make a career out of it. They, you know, they go on and do other things, but they're pretty much, if the show still has a fandom, they're always welcomed at, like, for example, our pop culture conventions in Sydney. We have one sort of that's, it's like a mini Comic Con. It's not big, but it's like, it's called Supernova, and that would be, what?
I've been to Supernova before.
Why?
Why? I was visiting my cousin and he took me.
Oh, that's cool. When? In Sydney or in what city?
Yeah, in Sydney.
Oh,
yeah.
Which year?
God. It was back when it was probably a lot smaller, so I remember being a lot younger.
Okay. it was, anyway, Supernova, it's got, like, it'll have, like, one or two guests from random, you know, not one or two, it has a lot of guests, but it won't be, like, focused on a certain thing. It'll be, like, sometimes it's really big people. Like, I think George R.R. Martin is coming to one this year, and earlier this year they had, like a bunch of the knights from Merlin, like Bradley James and a bunch of the other Round Table knights. And they have, you know, a lot of people from Buffy have come, like, you know, Carl Urban often does it from, well, obviously he's in Star Trek and many other things, but he's from, you know, he's based in New Zealand a lot of the time, and he really likes doing conventions. But, you know, if they brought down people from Teen Wolf who had already been killed off and wouldn't necessarily be on the show, they'd still definitely have an audience, like, coming to those cons, like, and doing a panel. And it's a cool thing that, you know, as long as the show still has a fandom, there are still places that they can go, you know, and hang out with the fandom, even if they might not be in the upcoming news at the, you know, San Diego Comic-Con panel.
it was really nice. Yeah, it was really nice to see him there because, yeah, he gave a lot of insights into what he would have liked to have seen for Boyd if he'd been able to stay on the show and he hadn't died. Which there was at one point he actually, there wasn't a dry eye in the whole main hall because he started talking about like Boyd and Erica and going to prom, and we were just all like, no, you can't. Basically exactly that, saying how they definitely would have gone to prom together, but Erica would have been the one to ask him. And I was just like, oh no, you can't say that to us. Why would you say that?
It's a bit tragic.
Yes, Jay.
What kind of panels and events were there besides the coffee lounges? Were there like panels where the whole con could get in and stuff like that? What happened exactly?
Yeah, there was a main hall. So the whole thing was split into like lots of different things. You got given a schedule at the start. So there were talks that were in the main hall and they tended to be very Q&A driven. So you could line up to the one side of the room and there was a microphone at the front and you could pitch any question that you wanted to whoever was on stage. And yeah, it was split between like everyone's, they had different kind of makeups of like who was doing it. So I think we had, the first one was all of the guests together. Then there was one with Tyler and JR, which was the funniest thing, putting those two people together. I can see that those two guys being on set probably being the biggest disaster ever because they just made each other laugh so much. You could just see them like trying to be really straight faced about stuff and then just cracking up all of the time. JR for me was probably the biggest surprise of the whole con.
His personality.
Yeah, definitely.
What did you expect him to be like? I mean, I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I don't know why I expected him to be a lot more reserved than he was. But that guy probably has the dirtiest mind that I have ever encountered in the guest of the convention before. Like, his first coffee lounge, I didn't get to go to it, but I made friends with someone who got, like, the VIP ticket to the convention. So there was like four VIP tickets right when the convention went on sale. And the prices are still available online, but they cost about £800.
What?
But that included your hotel and food and all of the photo ops, all of the signatures, the packs of photos, your food for the weekend. So your breakfast, lunch, dinner, everything like that. So it basically, you paid the £800 and that was you all in. But she got to go to the JR one, and pretty much his first question for everyone was, right, so tell me about shipping.
Oh, no. Like,
the whole weekend he was so fascinated with it. Just the thing that came out of it was he started shipping himself with Lyndon.
No. I mean, well, if he wants, but
it kind of evolved from there into it being all three of the parents, which they called McStargent.
Oh. Oh, good. I'm so glad that they're taking it to this place.
It's just so funny.
I'm glad he's owning it and not, you know, shunning it and just being like, yeah, I ship this.
I suppose they're so, like, they must be fascinated. You could either be like, what? And be, like, super, like, curious. Or you could be like, oh, my God, that's horrible. Take, you know, don't, you know. And I don't think anyone on the show, is kind of the attitude that they would be all above it and, like, you know, creeped by the fans or whatever. Is. Though I will say about JR, I haven't given too much thought as to whether I thought he'd be reserved or not. But recently I was watching Josie and the Pussycats.
Pussycats. Why?
Number one, because it's amazing. But number two, while we were watching it, he's in it as a random, like, totally, like, over-the-top, like, sales clerk who, like, comes out and screams at the band for playing in front of his store. And he's wearing, like, an orange turtleneck, and he's, like, total, like, hipster camp. And so it must be made about 15 years ago. And he's not that young in it, but it's, like, a lot younger. And I was just like, oh, my God, what is this? And it was so, so funny. So now I just look at him and imagine him playing that role. And so, yeah, I can't take him seriously.
Things I have to do this week.
Watch Josie and the Pussycats. It's brilliant. It's not like a stupid movie. It's very much like a parody. Like, for example, there's one bit in it where the sister of the band's manager, who is just hanging around being annoying, at one point, Josie, they're getting on the plane to New York, and Josie's like, why are you even here? And the girl shrugs and goes, I don't know. Because I was here in the comics, and it was like, it's really like very, very
kind of thing.
Like, yeah, sort of breaking the fourth wall, like very purposefully, like parody, and it's very, very funny. But anyway, J.R. Bourne, look out for his cameo in that because it's insane. But anyway,
yeah, he tended to like make up a lot of pairings over the weekend, and it tended to go along the theme of, and this was probably like the tagline of the whole con, is he would be like, let's have a couple of beers, see where it goes. Like, he talked about getting a couple of beers with Derek, and it was just like,
Ooh. What?
Because in their panel where it was the two of them together, they both basically came to the realization that their lives were the worst.
Derek's and Chris.
Yeah, that Derek's and Chris's life were the worst. Like, their families, like, were mostly dead, and they never win a fight. Everything just goes wrong for them. And then JR basically just turned to... Yeah, JR basically said, you know, maybe they should grab a couple of beers, see where it goes.
Oh, my God. Just like... Actual worst.
Yeah, I think he called that one ale. But if I got that wrong, anyone who's listening to this podcast, correct me, because I'm trying to, like, go back and remember. But I think that JR coined ale for Derek and Chris pairing. But, yeah, just the ship names that JR came up with the whole weekend were absolutely hysterical.
Oh, dear.
We've created a monster, basically.
Yeah, he's going to go back on set, and Dylan's going to be like, shut up, don't encourage them, shut up.
Yeah, I think Hecklin actually said at one point that, look at what you've started, no one's going to be safe. Yeah, to put it into perspective, even the Canema got in there at some point, so... What? Yeah, he started like going... thinking of people he could ship the Canema with, and we were just like, no, you need to stop now. You've gone too far.
I get the feeling that, like, when people talk like that, they maybe, like, don't realize how serious it is. Like, they're like, oh, lol, this is funny, you know, like, to think about, but they don't realize, like, how seriously that people, not necessarily take them, but, like, how... He can be like, lol, lol, ship the Canema with someone, but, like, someone might actually go write some really weird, pervy Canema Allison sex, like that weird... I mean, the show did try and put that in, so, you know, I'm not gonna...
Yeah.
Whatever, but...
Oh, I fully expect at least one person to run with some of the ideas JR came up with, even if it's in, like, a completely cracky kind of
way. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm worried that they think it's just crack, and that they're going to be... very disturbed to find out that it is not always just crack. But I don't think Canema and JR will be on our list of shipping Fridays for this Not Another Teen Wolf podcast Tumblr fan fiction event.
No, I can't say that was on the list. I don't remember seeing it on our list of parents. That was
clearly an error. We will slip it in just for him. Anyway, so what was the vibe of the con like then, in terms of like how many people were there, and I mean, did any particularly good like news come out of the panel, or was there any sort of experiences that were like really cool, you know, as a group that weren't necessarily news, but that sort of everyone was in on? Like you said, there was like a screening of the pilot and stuff like that. So like
yes, yeah. They screened the pilot. the Sunday morning, because there was a gap between when they put more photo ops on sale and the first panel of the day starting. Mm-hmm. So they decided to show the pilot episode, and that was so good. It was so nice to be able to watch it in a room of about, I think at that point there must have been about 200 to 250 people in that room. Mm. And it was so great to like hear people reacting in real time. Because I personally, for me, I've always been someone, I've watched the show mostly on my own. I've watched it with friends, but we've been texting back and forth. Mm. But for the most part, I've been in a room on my own watching it. Experiencing that with a group of people who feel just as passionately about the show as you do, it was an experience that I'm probably never going to forget, because it was just great to see, you know, how different people reacted to different parts depending on like maybe who their favorite character was, or but everyone unanimously, every time Styles was on the screen, was pretty much laughing at everything he did through the pilot. So
every time I watch early episodes, I laugh at Derek really badly, like, yes, if he does like a face. Yes.
Hecklin's general consensus was, why did they pay me? Through season one, all I did was stand there and show up behind trees and look at people. And I was just, and then watching the pilot after being on that panel, we were just all cracking up so badly.
Standing behind the tree again.
Yeah. Because he does that a lot in the first episode.
Yeah, he does. I know that one of my favorite parts of going to San Diego Comic-Con was watching the footage with all the other people in the room. And I think you're absolutely right that it's just, you know, obviously I love Teen Wolf a lot and I get really excited about it. But just with all those other people in the room and the atmosphere and the feelings that everyone gives off, it's just, nothing can really compare to it, because you know that everybody in that room loves the show as much as you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with, yeah, that kind of like communal feeling is really, really cool. I haven't had that with Teen Wolf cry, but when I went to Comic-Con, they did a screening of like the Once More With Feeling, like Buffy episode, and for everyone.
Oh, nice.
And it was so cool. It was just like, it's, I guess it's kind of like watching a movie at like a special event where everyone already knows the movie, like, you know, like a screening of a classic or something like that. But for fandom, it's so much more like, I don't know, it's a bit more like unreserved, and it's so cool. So yeah, I don't know, it's nice.
So amazing, because a lot of what we do is online, obviously. I mean, look at you guys, you know, I'm in New York, you're in Australia, you're in England, and or the UK,
Wales,
and it's
Wales.
Just, yeah, Wales, and it's just, you know, it's so cool to be able to talk to everybody all over the place, but for everyone to kind of convene in one spot, and you meet these strangers that you have an instant connection with. And it's just incredible. I love that feeling. I think that's why I'm like, I need to go to more cons, because nothing can really compare to it.
Yeah, it's definitely a very, it's just one of the most unreserved atmospheres of like, I mean, I've said this kind of before in various places, but like nearly everyone that I'm friends with in life now are people either that I've met online through a fandom thing and then met in person, like people with Hyperball and all of that kind of thing, or people that I've met at a con or at a in a queue for like in a line for a gig with usually for like a music event that has a similar fandom to online fandoms do, like a lot of the bands that I was involved with 5-6 years ago, and bands I still like, but like that what they have fandoms, they had fandoms that were very online based, and so you could talk to people in the same way that people talk about kind of like pop culture fandom. Being in a place like that is the only place that I feel very comfortable making friends, because I'm sort of at the point where I find it very difficult, like with, you know, work and stuff like that, to, you know, talk to people. You know, you can make small talk, but like sort of to talk to people, and you kind of automatically go to this like next level of like, they're like, oh yeah, so you watch, you know, whatever, you know, Downton Abbey or, you know, something, like, you know, I and you'd be like, yeah, but, And it's like you both like the same thing. This is like someone, like a civilian, you know, this is, you know, someone at work. You both might like the same thing, like Glee or something, but like the way I'm going to come into a conversation talking about Glee is just not the same way that this person is going to come into a conversation talking about Glee. And within about 3 minutes, they kind of look at me like, and I, you know, have to turn it down, or, you know, they think I'm crazy. But just at cons, you can sort of just talk the way that your brain sort of spews out and people will understand it. You can make references without having to explain why. Being able to make references to things like a joke or like a, you know, something in casual conversation without having to stop yourself and like explain what the hell you're talking about to strangers is a very unique experience. And it's like something that only really happens like meeting people at cons, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was so nice to just, to be able to talk about the show. Like I've not, outside of being online, I've not really been able to talk with someone in real life face to face about the show. Mm. And yeah, that there were just like this wealth of people that all had differing opinions about the show. Like not everyone felt the same way about every character, and it was nice to be able to like sit down and talk to them about like who their favorite character was, how they felt about the seasons, how they felt that the characters had grown. I mean, for me it was so interesting because Heathrow is such a central hub for a lot of Europe. It's such an easy place to get to in terms of flights that you had people from all over Europe. Like I think Germany was probably the most well represented out of everyone I met. I think it was mostly people from Germany.
Not, but, you know, not Britain? Like, was it not mainly British people?
No, not at all. I mean, there were people from France, Spain. I met some people from Sweden, Finland. Furthest people that came away, there were two Australians at the con.
Specifically for the con, or they were in, like, London anyway?
Well, One of them was here. I think she said it was for 3 months.
Yeah.
And
the other one came over to visit, and it was like timed for the con or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. And that was really cool as well. That, you know, it wasn't just people from the UK. I got to meet some amazing people just going around. Like when I was handing out the postcards, I tried to stop and at least find out where they'd come from, what they thought about the show, and what they did in fandom, maybe, even if it was just interacting with other fans. There were this amazing group of girls, and I urge everyone to check this out. They've created a French fan magazine, 14 Wolf. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it's just called Omega or L'Omega, but it, Oh my God, it is the most amazing fan magazine that I have probably had the privilege to look at. Like,
that's just really cool, because like zine culture, even if it's like online or print, is really dying out. And that's how like fandom started, was like people mailing fan magazines to each other in the post, like with fan fiction and like theories and stuff like that. Like in the post, you're in the 60s, you could get other fans to send you Star Trek fan fiction from a typewriter. Like,
wow.
Yeah, that's how fandom culture pretty much started.
Yeah, it was just amazing to like see that that kind of thing was still going, but the quality of it, just the quality in general, was just amazing. I'm not sure if they've got a website. I never really found out if they had a website, but I'm sure someone who's listening will let me know at some point if they do, because they do have a website. It's definitely something that I would love to still keep up with, because I was just so incredibly impressed by them. Mm. And I think that was another great thing about this convention, was meeting other people who do such amazing things. Like there were people who were showing off their art, and like some of the art was just breathtakingly beautiful. Like yeah, the talent in this fandom is unlike any other fandom that I've been in. I'm always continuously surprised and just overwhelmed with how amazing everyone is. I think that's one of the main things I'm taking away from this is just, yeah, the people who were attending the con were just as amazing to me as the guests themselves. So, yeah, I just want to do a massive shout out to everyone I met. And there were about 400 of them. I stopped and talked to pretty much everyone there. But yeah, just everyone who attended just blew me away. Yeah.
It's so nice. So you made lots of friends then.
I made a lot of friends, a lot. I've met a lot of people. I think my Twitter account, my personal Twitter account, has gone up so many followers over the weekend. And I think I noticed the podcast Twitter followers going up slowly as well. I know a lot of people have said that they won't be able to follow anything until they get back home, because obviously having come from like places in Europe and then other countries as well, like internationally, they didn't have 3G and there was no free Wi-Fi, so there was a disconnect as well from anything else that was going on online, unless you paid for Wi-Fi or you had 3G access. I know for me particularly, there was a little bit of disconnect because to make my phone last through the day, I had to keep flipping it onto airplane mode. But yeah, I know a lot of people have like said that they're going to be checking us out when they get back home, which was really, really cool. So yeah, hopefully I'll see more of the people that I met, popping up over the next couple of days, either on my Twitter or on the podcast Twitter. It would be great to see them on either. I actually implore people to go follow the podcast one a lot more because then you can interact with all five of us. So yeah, it was yeah, I met so many people. I came home with just under 100 postcards, and putting it into perspective, I printed 500. So yeah. I think that'll put into perspective how many people I spoke to.
I mean, yeah, do you want to sort of, I think Karen knows a little bit more about what exactly happened with the postcards and all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, did you meet anyone that knew the podcast, or
I
what did you have
did.
for the well, you had these cards and stickers that were merch for the podcast, basically, like
Yes.
cards with our logo and our everything on it. And apparently, yeah, some people knew it, or some people wanted to find out what it was. And yeah, you did a lot of street teaming, as the youth call it, I believe. Yeah, so what happened with the pod, like, how was the podcast's presence felt at Wolf
There
Bay?
were, as I was going through people, there were, I think, a lot more people than I was expecting that knew the podcast and listened to it. And then when they found out, like, who I was and what I was doing, like, the hugs I was getting were amazing. I was just like, oh my
I
God.
want hugs. Why aren't
Well,
I getting hugs?
whenever we actually see each other in real life, which could actually be a real thing that is happening, so
Yes.
yes, I will be passing on the hugs to you guys as well. So don't worry, there will be hugs coming your way. You've got IOUs for hugs, all of you. But I think, yeah, the even if they hadn't been listening to the podcast itself, the interesting thing that I found was that a lot of people knew about Hyperbole itself and the Teen Wolf articles that were being written, but also the Tumblr account. And this was the amazing thing that I found, is that a lot of the people that I was talking to knew the Tumblr account and actually used it as a central place for finding out Teen Wolf news. And that for me was just it blew me away completely, because I know how much work everyone puts into it. So from the articles that go up on Hyperbole that are reblogged on the Tumblr and put up on there and linked to, so that people can go and read it from there, Yeah, that it all interconnects and people were actually using us as a place to find out Teen Wolf news. And I it just kind of almost in a way validated all of the hard work you guys have been putting in. And I was just, I felt a lot of pride at hearing that so many people followed the Tumblr. And yeah, that was really good. Yeah, it was amazing. Really, really was.
That just with the postcards really blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't have any perspective at all on this. Just like, I don't have any perspective of like who knows what. Oh, I just sit, you know, in my house in Australia. Yeah, definitely not interacting with the fandom in person. So I would have liked to come to Wolfsbane. If I hadn't had my trip to the UK earlier this year, I probably would have checked it out because I had been looking at it for a while. But I probably couldn't have got back there. Yeah, this you know, for August when I'd only come back in June, but sad face.
Oh, you were here in June?
Yeah, I was in the UK from like April to June.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
I do go like nearly every year, so don't worry.
Yeah, well, if there we go. If you're back next year, then
yeah.
I'll definitely. If you haven't been on the Doctor Who experience, I will take you on the Doctor Who experience if you like Doctor Who.
I do like Doctor Who. And I have been to Cardiff a couple of times, but we will find, I'm sure we'll find something wonderful to do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I want to go.
You can come.
Come too. Everyone comes to the UK.
Oh, yeah. Let's just all go. Because the Wolfsbane 2 convention has been announced, like they're going to run it again.
Yes.
Because these cons aren't necessarily a strictly annual event, like those kind of like companies that run them, it just sort of is based on popularity. But it seems like because this one's sold out, that they're pretty sure that they want to do it again next year. I guess it'll be just after the season, season 3B finishes. It'll be in July next year. I think it's very close in time to San Diego Comic Con. It's like the
very
week,
close.
2 weeks before. I was almost like, they haven't done it on the same weekend, have they? And I literally just looked it up this morning, being like, if they've done it on the same weekend, none of the guests are going to be able to come. But no, it's
the 11th to the 13th. 11th to the 13th of July. Mm. And tickets have already gone on sale. And that's general admission tickets are now on sale on the Rogue Events convention page. So if you enjoyed it this time, or if you missed out this time, definitely come to the next one. I will say that. It's definitely something that you should go and do. Never mind that any of like the main five characters are there. Being able to interact with like recurring characters or maybe smaller roles, it gives you such an interesting insight into the show itself and how it runs. And I would recommend it to everyone. Absolutely.
I'm excited. I mean, I would like to try. Like, I could, you know, I don't have solid plans for what I'm doing next year. We don't know exactly because we have a few options as far as fandom. I pretty much only travel. Well, no, that's not true. I don't only travel for fandom stuff. I generally travel to America for fandom stuff. I've never been to America just for like a holiday. It's always been based around a con or an event. The UK, a lot of my friends are there, and I just like being there. But there always ends up being stuff on. But I've never, you know, gigs or cool television tapings or random things while I'm there. But I've never gone to the UK for a special event like Wolfsbane, so maybe next year I will. We'll see.
Well, if you do decide to go, I'm definitely going next year. Mm-hmm. So, that yeah, look out for me again next year because I'm 100% going. I don't have anything planned for July next year, so definitely going to be attending again.
Cool. So, was there any big sort of news or like reveals about characters that you found really interesting from any of the main panels? I mean, I know we've had a lot of news go up on the Tumblr, like a lot of recaps and all of that. So, anyone who wants to know about what happened at Wolfsbane exactly, there's a lot of that on the Tumblr, a lot of like panel write ups and photographs. But anything that really stood out to you personally, I know you got to meet Kiahu, obviously, which was a big deal for you, but
massive deal.
But so anyone you really liked meeting, or like anything about characters that you felt like really good about or sad about, or something that.
Oh man, we just got so much. There was just so much that you found out about each character, and it may not even have been like anything that was on the show officially, but it was things that they'd built up about their characters to give them that kind of depth.
Mm.
And it was like things that, yeah, it the sheriff wearing his wedding ring, okay, mm. That was a Lyndon ad-lib. So he did that. He just left his own wedding ring on.
Yeah.
And that was an ad-lib for him going on the show. That was really, really cool. Mm. Yeah, things like the McCalls and the Stilinskis,
yeah,
were very close family friends.
Mm-hmm.
Very close. And it was pretty much implied very, very heavily that Papa McCall, whose name we don't really know yet,
mm.
and the sheriff worked together.
Okay.
That came out of it. So that was very heavily implied, that that was how the families knew each other.
Before Papa McCall was FBI or whatever, like when he was less of a big deal.
Yeah.
So okay, interesting.
That. A lot of the Boyd and Erica stuff from Cinqua was heartbreaking. And, yeah, I will openly admit to Cinqua having made me cry on more than one occasion. Lyndon is also guilty of having made me cry with the Stilinski family feels.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever he was, like, just talking about Styles in general and their relationship.
Aww.
And then talking about him and Claudia.
Mm.
Yeah. Broke my heart.
Oh, no.
Every single time. I think, what else did we get? There was a lot from Kiahu about playing Danny and how that was so different going into it. Like, the he apparently talked a lot with Jeff before settling into the role about just what would be happening with Danny, like how he would be played, how he wanted Kiahu to approach the role.
Mm.
I mean, Kiahu originally auditioned for Jackson.
Yeah, I think I knew that. I think I'd heard that.
Yeah, that was nice to hear about as well. But when he was talking with Jeff about what he wanted from Danny, he was like, just play him as a real person.
Mm.
Like, just be a normal teenage boy at school,
mm.
you know? And I think for me, that's, I think a lot of where Danny's character has become very, very genuine. Like, I feel like he's not that kind of stereotype that you can sometimes get. Mm. It just gives a fresh perspective on everything. Yeah, that was really cool. And a lot of Kiahu's own background came into the character of Danny.
Mm.
Because when Jeff found out that Kiahu worked really, really heavily with computers and everything, that's where the hacking thing came from.
Oh, yeah.
Because his background in computers.
I would like more Danny hacking stuff, please, in season 3B.
Hashtag more Danny. That was Kiahu's thing the whole weekend. Hashtag more Danny.
Yeah.
Make it a thing, guys, because I want more Danny too. So.
One of the things I saw mentioned, and I mean, I'm not sure who mentioned it because neither of the people that were involved, but that, like, Scott in the upcoming seasons, like, that his anchor is no longer Allison for being, you know, his wolf control or whatever. How did that come up?
Oh, I may have missed that panel because there was some stage talks that clashed with things like the coffee lounges.
Yeah.
So I missed, I think, one or two of the stage talks.
Oh, I'm sure someone will find it.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so who did you get to actually meet one-on-one? Did you get to meet everyone? Did they have signings or is it like a photo session? Was that included in the ticket? What happened exactly?
So the autographs were included. So you got one autograph per guest on a personal item of your choice.
And you just lined up and
yeah, signing. Except for Kiahu and JR, who were sponsored guests, so you had to pay a little extra for that.
Okay.
But it wasn't that much. I think it was about £10. So
yeah,
in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't that much. Yeah, so you got to go through a queue up, get some stuff signed, and you got to chat a little bit with them. Not a lot, because there were so many people to have to get through.
Mm.
But yeah, you got to speak to them a little bit. In the coffee lounges themselves, that's where you got to talk a little bit more one-on-one with them. And yeah, the ones I got to do was the solo one that Hecklin did.
Mm.
One of the solo ones. Yeah, one of the solo ones that Kiahu did, because he had two. He had one on the Saturday, one on the Sunday. And then I also did one that had Melissa, JR, and Lyndon in.
Mm-hmm.
And of all of them, that one was the most interesting, because they split the room into three smaller circles, and you got 10 minutes with each of them.
Okay.
And the joke I brought up was that it felt a lot like speed dating, which got a couple of laughs in the room. So I like to believe I'm funny sometimes. So. But yeah, they were quite good. Yeah, I didn't do any of the photo ops. And each one of those was either, it was between £15 to £20 per guest.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the guests were 20, some of them were 15. I'm not a massive fan of posed photography, so that's just a personal thing.
I'm not here for that, but I would rather just meet someone on the street and be like, can I take a photo on my phone if I was going to.
I mean, I prefer photographs that are more natural or in the moment.
Mm.
But posed photography, for me, it's genuinely just a personal preference that I'm not a fan of it, which is why I didn't do any of the photo ops. I'm more of an interactions kind of person, which I think a lot of people probably got over the weekend, because I talked to a lot of people. So, yeah, that's just me. I know I saw a lot of people doing the photo ops, and I saw some of them, like, as they were coming out, so people would share with me, like, the photos that they got, and some of them were hysterical.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite cool, like, because we have those at the Supernova convention and things like that as well, and it's kind of a shame, because it is a good interaction. Like, they're always really nice, and they chat to you, and if it's a cool type of person, they'll, like, do something funny in the photo with you or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it's, like, in a photo booth that looks like taking, like, a school picture, like, with a weird background and that kind of thing. So no matter, like, how natural the people are being in the photo, it still looks very, like, sort of formal in a way. And that's kind of what I don't love about it. But they can be, like, the people are usually so nice about it, though.
Yeah, this was my first Rogue event as well. I'd never attended a convention held by Rogue events before. I've been to some of the others. So I've been,
like,
by the
Star Fury
and is it Showmasters is the one I think that runs in the UK, and I've been to theirs. And one thing that I will say about the Rogue events photo ops is that they kept the background very neutral, so the background to all of the photographs was white. So it was a lot plainer than some of the other backgrounds. So I know that in the Star Fury conventions, they had it very much like a school picture background rather than something very, very plain. But I will say of the cast that they were willing to do a lot of really funny stuff. So I saw there was one photo where Lyndon and JR were, like, either side of the person and kissing her cheek on each side, and that was really, really cute. And then things like there were two girls who were dressed up as hunters, and then in a picture with JR and Hecklin, it was the three of them versus Hecklin,
Derek,
and they were all in character. And, you know, you got some really, really cool photographs coming out of it. And I'm sure eventually they'll all filter their way online.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully people will get to see more and more of them. But, yeah, there were some really, really cool ones that were actually taken.
Yeah, like I've seen ones, obviously not with Teen Wolf, but I've seen ones of those kind of posed photo with where people like, who are like, you know, like James Masters, who's plays Spike on Buffy, like people get him to like bite them and stuff, which is quite fun. I don't know, like that's kind of a cool, like I think I did see one or two already online from Wolfsbane that looked quite hilarious. But what was I going to say? People, photos, interacting things. Cosplay, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, you mentioned people dresses. I have not seen that much like cosplay happening at some, like little small conventions. Was there cosplay going on at this?
Yes, I actually sent a couple of pictures to Courtney and Brooke and Karen because they have iPhones, so I can send free text messages to them.
Sorry.
I wish I could have sent them to you too.
That's okay, I'm sure I'll see them.
Yeah, I think they went up on the Tumblr, or at least I think Courtney or Brooke said that they were going to put them on the Tumblr, but there were some really impressive cosplays. There was one Lydia who was just so good. Yeah, we had a Kanema. The Kanema, Jackson Kanema was awesome. There was a guy who was dressed up as Dylan's character from The Internship. There were a couple of Erica's, a couple of Derek's, a lot of Styles.
Mm.
I think I saw an Allison at one point, but didn't get to get a picture of her. And I know I saw a Scott at one point, but I didn't get to get a picture of them either. Like, I was just, like, all over the place. But there were some really, really good costumes.
Mm.
Yeah. Kyahu and Stephen actually talked a lot about cosplay as well, obviously both having done it before. Kyahu, yeah, especially, we know of him doing cosplay from Comic-Con where he crashed the panel.
Yeah.
But yeah, they talked a bit about cosplay as well. And really, really interestingly, Kyahu attended the Labyrinth of Jareth Masquerade Ball in LA this year.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so he talked a little bit about that during the coffee lounge that I attended to him and brought it up during the coffee lounge, but that masquerade ball's actually been on my bucket list for a couple of years to attend. So yeah, I didn't get him to talk about it a lot because I didn't want to monopolize the coffee lounge, but I got a little bit excited about that because I've always wanted to meet someone who's been. So
he seems, yeah, he's got some cool interests, I will say. Like he's really got an interesting life.
Yeah, he definitely does. He talked about space quite a lot as well. yeah. I think one of the things that he really, really wants to do, or would love to be able to do, is actually go into space. He would love to be able to see the Earth from space, is one thing that I took from, like, one of the panels, and also I think the coffee lounge, he mentioned it in there.
We had one of our guest listeners on who met him at a space event, like a rocket launch event or something like that. And talked about his, like, nerdness with, you know, being obsessed with space. So it just charms me.
It charms me as well. So you're not alone there. You're really not alone there. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess another big question is, you know, not to toot our own horn, but the guests, the Teen Wolf cast, did any of them know about the podcast? I saw a lot of people getting their postcards signed by the team, like by the cast. That surprised me a lot. Did you hear anything
that
about
that? Amazing. I just want to say thank you to everyone who wanted to get those signed. Mm. Like that was so cool to me. Like I had people coming up going, do you have any extras? Because I'd like to get the whole cast to sign them. I was just like, they're going, really? That's amazing. Yes, of course, have all of the postcards. But yeah, yeah, let me think. Who knew about us? So Melissa knew about us because I think she follows us. Stephen knew about us. And my surprise was Kiahu was aware of us.
Ooh.
Which, yeah, that was very, very exciting to me. All of the others knew about Hyperball.
Oh, really?
And the coverage on Hyperball. Maybe not the podcast specifically, but they're definitely aware of it now. Because they all...
They signed about 400 postcards.
Yeah. Between having to actually sign some of the postcards, like people taking them in to get signed, and also I gave them each a personalized postcard to take away with them.
Oh, cool.
So it had like a little specific message to each of them on the back that I wrote up. So, and signed from everyone. Yeah, so they at least have those, and I gave them each a sticker as well.
Oh, you're so cute.
So that was really cool. It was really nice to... Yeah, Melissa knew of us. So when she was signing, I think she was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know. She said, I've still got to follow up on...
What, coming on?
Yeah, she said she definitely had to follow up with us at some point, is what she said. So, yeah, that was really exciting.
Yes.
None of the others really knew of the podcast, but I think at least one or two of them said that they were going to check it out.
Oh, well, that's nerve-wracking, but oh well.
It's fine. I mean, a lot of people love the podcast. A lot of people love the podcast. Yeah. I love the podcast. So, you know, I'm excited for them to go and listen to it.
I suppose. As I said, I don't give a lot of thought to, like, who's out there besides, like, you five. Like you four.
Yeah. I think it makes it a lot easier to get through it when you realize, like, when you don't think about how many people could be listening in, because it gets a little scary.
I'm kind of at the moment just assuming that this is just a conversation between the three of us.
That's,
and then
right.
It's going to get leaked online later.
That's how I always end up thinking about doing the podcasts that I've done for Hyperball. And like, I'm not going to like say what they are exactly, but we got for the first time recently, like with the season 3A finale, we got off Andrew, who runs Hyperball, we got the numbers like for our our downloads and for like the sort of exposure for each episode of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. And I would just say it was a lot higher like than I thought our listenership was. Like, I'd say it was about double what I thought our listenership was. So yeah, that was kind of at least double. I really didn't the on average sort of downloads for each episode, so that was quite a big deal, and that was nice. So it's cool that there is an audience. I guess I don't think about it too much because I don't like the idea of kind of, I mean, I guess like broadcasting to that many people. Like thinking about it is a bit just like, you know, well, what do you say to sort of get to everyone? But I guess if we're just what we're doing so far and pretending we're just talking to each other and then leaking it online later, I guess if that's working so far, then we shall carry on. Yeah. But it is really cool. I mean, and it's obviously the Tumblr has a lot of followers, which again, I don't know how many of those translate to listeners, but that's also really cool that people know it as a presence and a source. But yeah, I mean, if you are a regular listener, if you ever want to go on iTunes and rate us or write a review there, that would be really cool because sometimes the more attention it gets in iTunes, it can like boost it up to like be sort of flagged as noteworthy and promoted by iTunes, which has happened to a few Hyperball podcasts. So that might be interesting if that ever happens. But again, I hope that everyone out there who's wanting a Teen Wolf podcast has come across us. I did meet a girl the other day who was a friend of a friend, and I sort of mentioned it, and she was like, you do a Teen Wolf podcast? And I was like, yeah, and she's clearly in the Teen Wolf fandom, but like hadn't come across us. So I hope that everyone who has the desire in their life for a Teen Wolf podcast is being fulfilled by us, and that there aren't people out there pining away for a Teen Wolf podcast that don't know about us. And if there are, spread the word somehow. I don't know, because I don't want them to miss out.
I was going to say, a couple of people actually took a few extra postcards to go and give to friends back at home as well.
That's
so that they would tune in as well.
Yeah.
Which was quite, that was quite nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Because all of the postcards had the address on the back of the social media and all of that kind of stuff, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So it had the Twitter, the Tumblr, and the email address on the back for the podcast.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then... Karen, you're being very quiet. Do you have any questions to ask about the...
I'm just soaking everything up right now.
Yeah,
I'm trying to live vicariously through all these stories.
Yeah, I could kind of hear it in your silence. I was like, no, if she wants to interrupt, she will. She's just sitting there basking.
Because it's kind of overwhelming because, I mean, we've sort of mentioned this before, but Natalie and I started this podcast as, at first it was kind of a joke, like, oh, we should totally start a podcast. And they were like, no, we should totally start a podcast. And never in a million years did I think ever that we would become, you know, a news source on Tumblr, that the cast and crew would be looking at Hypeable and reaching out to us and giving us all these amazing opportunities and stuff. And I mean, it's just, it's been incredible. And I just have to sit back sometimes and be like, whoa, you know, this is real life. It's really cool. And I'm just really glad. Like, one of the best things about the podcast is being able to share that with everyone else, because essentially that's what the podcast is for, is to talk and interact with other people in the fandom.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Tumblr too, but you know, me and Natalie, we're not too good at Tumblr. So we stick to Twitter and the podcast mostly. So it's just been, I think the most amazing thing is just being able to talk to people all over the world about this show that we all love so much.
Yeah. Like, full disclosure, when we started the podcast, I'm not saying, oh, we started it as a joke. We started saying we should do a Teen Wolf podcast as a joke when Teen Wolf wasn't a fandom covered on Hyperbole, just because we were the only two people that liked it at a time when a lot of people were making new podcasts on Hyperbole, some of which have not really, like, stuck around, like, either because the show's finished or it just hasn't been that popular. And it was like everyone and his mum was making a podcast, and we're like, lol, we're gonna make a Teen Wolf podcast, when it wasn't a fandom that we were covering. And then we did, and now it's, I mean, I don't know about, like, some of the other shows probably have bigger numbers, but I think that we've had the most, we've been one of the most successful on the show, the production of the show knows and interacts with us a lot more than, like, I do Glee Chat, which is a massive following of listeners, but, like, none of the Glee people, like, know what a Glee Chat is, if you know what I mean. They don't know, you know, they don't retweet us, they don't interact with us, like, you know, we don't get emails from the showrunner being like, you know, here's a thing for you. Like, we don't get I don't think any other podcast on Hyperbole has had a screener. And I don't know if we announced, I suppose we did announce this on the Twitter, but Karen got a screener from the, you know, from MTV for the finale. She got a DVD screener. We don't get screeners on Hyperbole for most of our shows. Like, I don't know of any shows.
Andrew said that we were the first ones on Hyperbole to get one of those.
Yeah. We get, like, some, you know, some of the big writers go to premieres and stuff for the movie fandoms. We've had a lot of, we actually have a lot of better relationships on Hyperbole with our big writers and movie fandoms, like movie production. They tend to interact a bit more, and that, you know, they're on the list for, like, press junkets and stuff. But we've never had TV screeners before. And so that's, like, a pretty big thing. So well done, guys, I guess, everyone, team, and all of the listeners, because this legitimately, we thought it would be the, like, bottom of the rung podcast on Hyperbole when we started.
Yeah.
It like, we thought it would be like that they were humoring us, so yeah, it's turned out quite nicely, I think.
I remember writing up a doc to give to Andrew, be like, this is how the podcast is going to be different. This is why it can work. Please, please let us do this because we really want to.
Yeah.
And now, like, I mean, it's been a labor of love. We put a lot of work into it, all of us. Courtney, Brooke, I mean, Danya, holy crap, you did so much for us over the weekend, and Natalie and I doing everything. And we started off with Teen Wolf kind of like, I used to write articles and there would be like no comments. If I was lucky, I'd get one or two like regular people. Now they frequently go to the hot and hypeable section, and we had for one of the recaps over 200 comments, and that doesn't happen on the site for, you know, the recaps of shows and stuff. And it's just been such a team effort, not only between the five of us, but with everybody out there too. And I mean, I wish, you know, virtual hugs for all of you guys, because it's just been such a team effort between everybody, and it's just so incredible.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal, and I think I would be very overwhelmed if I went to like a Teen Wolf con and people knew who we were. I might like awkwardly.
Yeah.
I might awkwardly run away. I'm not gonna lie.
No, I would hide in the bathroom.
I would really try not to awkwardly run away, but I would be a bit like, I would be quite taken aback, like in a like, but hopefully excited.
I just jumped straight in there.
Yeah.
I was just like, people, yay!
Well, I have to stick with you, and then you can just, like, be like, yeah, say hello to the nice people. But, yeah, I mean, do we have anything else to do with Wolfsbane? Like, anything else you wanted to share about, like, the experience or, like, your meeting either people who knew the podcast, any shout-outs, or meeting any of the actors, or just anything you took from Wolfsbane that we haven't already sort of talked about?
There was actually one girl that I wanted to mention, and her story that she told me actually really touched me a lot. So she's actually just finished studying English as a second language.
Mm-hmm.
So this was her first time going out of the country to use English. And she basically pulled me to one side because I'd interacted with her quite a lot, because she'd always seemed a little bit nervous, like when she was talking. And I hadn't had any idea about why. And she said that her biggest accomplishment of the weekend was being able to converse with everyone and understand people speaking English. And it was amazing that this was her first place to be able to go and do that. I was just like, that's amazing. She's going to be going on to eventually teach English to other people as well, and that she was able to share that and share it around. And her name's escaping me right now because it's almost 2 a.m. and I'm like, names are kind of gone, but if she's listening, I would like her to come and find me again, because yeah, that really moved me quite a lot.
That's pretty intense. Like, that's like, I mean, did she watch the show in another language, or like, what do you know? Like, that's oh, that's so scary. Was she there by herself?
I saw her with like one other person, and I'm not sure if she met them at the con or if she came alone. I didn't really get into it that far with her, but yeah, I saw her talking with quite a lot of people over the weekend, and a lot of people like going up to her as well, because she went up and asked quite a few questions on the stage talks as
yeah.
well. And that she had the courage to be able to stand up in front of what at any time could have been near to 400 people sat in that room
yeah.
and speaking English for the first time, asking a question to the cast that would be heard by that many people. Just the courage that was behind that was amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Oh,
I know. It's just, yeah. There were so many stories. Actually, there is another girl.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, donated a little something to the podcast as well, because I didn't get the chance to be able to buy it when they were still available. And I was mentioning to someone that I'd really, really wanted one of these to give away as a gift for the podcast. And she donated it.
Oh,
but
all right.
I found out then a little bit later. Her name's Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
She works with parents whose partners have left to help them get child support.
Yeah.
Of all the people, like, I went through people's, like, asking people what they did as jobs, and that one was the one that almost brought me to tears, especially knowing what we know about, like, Melissa McCall and Scott, and what we know of her being, like, having brought him up, and what Scott thinks, like, the tie-in to the show from that point is I will admit I did tear up a little bit hearing about her job, and whenever like I got the opportunity, I was telling people to go find her and like commend her on the amazing work that she does, because having that also been represented on the show, you can kind of see a tangible link of how difficult it must have been for Melissa to raise Scott on her own.
And what did she? Oh, sorry, go on.
No, it's fine. Go on.
What did she donate? Like herself? Like, do we get to keep
it? She donated a little exclusive Wolfsbane lanyard that was made for the convention, and there weren't enough to go around every single guest. So not everyone could buy one.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
By the time I got to be able to buy one, they were all gone. So. Yeah, she very kindly donated that.
So how much swag did you end up getting? Like, did you get, like, did this con have, like, kind of merchandise only specifically with the con? Or did it have, like, fan artists that had, like, their own tables set up? Because I know at LeakyCon there's, like, you know, a whole hall of, like, people who, you know, have Etsy stores and all of that kind of thing. Was this all sort of official, or was there, like, were there any, like, you know, even fan panels, like, discussing, you know, theories about whatever? Or was it all very, like, officially run? Like,
it was all very kind of officially run. So mm-hmm. there was talk originally of there going to be a merchandise room.
Mm-hmm.
But it got scrapped at the last minute.
Oh, okay.
So there was no merchandise room from a fan perspective or otherwise. These kind of show-specific conventions don't tend to have a lot of merchandise on sale. And if they do, it tends to be just photographs or show-specific official items. And I guess in terms of Teen Wolf, there isn't really a lot of official merchandise around, other than, like, the DVDs and the book. So I guess from that perspective, there wasn't really a lot that they could sell. They did sell, like, exclusive printed photos.
Yeah.
And there was like one little set that were all color, and then there was also a set of really beautiful black and white portrait shots that were actually done and printed at the convention itself.
Oh, so they were quite exclusive.
They are very exclusive. You're not going to be able to get them anywhere else other than at this con. And I guess I can announce it now, maybe, that I bought a pack that I will give away. So
you can keep them.
For me, what I take away from this sort of thing is more what I got from everyone else. So the interactions I got, the friends I made, being able to actually talk to the cast and meet them and just experience that. For me, that's what I take from it. And I know someone else is going to appreciate this stuff a lot more than I could. So there's that. There's the lanyard. I'll give away my little convention booklet that they printed as well. I also got a set of our postcards signed by the cast, which I'll also give away. And I'll also be giving away the color photographs that were printed as well that we got with the hotel room.
There were photographs in the hotel room.
So if you booked a hotel room for the convention and you went to go and get your autographs, they gave you a little pack of 8x10 photos to thank you for booking at the hotel where the convention was being held. So I'll also give away that as well. I'm not really sure the logistics of it yet. I will probably maybe work it out between the Twitter and the Tumblr to give equal opportunity to both.
Yeah, I mean,
so people follow on both. If there's a lot of crossover as well, then we'll see how it goes. But obviously, it'll probably be a discussion between the five of us over the next week or so, figuring out how we're going to do this. But basically, anything I got from the convention is going straight out to you guys. So watch this space, I guess. Yeah, everything I got will be finding new homes.
She's, oh, all right, if you're sure. You heard the lady.
So there's no arguing with me. There's no changing my mind.
Yeah, because all weekend we've just been hearing, I got some more stuff to give away, and I'm like, really? Why don't you get some stuff to have? Like, I mean, I, you know, if you don't want all of it, then whatever, but, you know, I hope that you got something cool from, you know, you've got something to, you know, stick on your wall and be like, yeah, I was there, or, you know, a picture or an autograph or a, you know, random gum wrapper that you found on the ground that was just like, yeah, I was there kind of thing, you know.
I don't tend to have a lot of stuff on my walls either. I mean, I think the only autograph that I've ever had and I've still got is one from Glenn Keane. So if anyone's familiar with Disney animation, he's the guy who was the lead animator on The Beast in Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. He's also worked on other stuff like The Little Mermaid, and he also worked a bit on Tangled.
Mm.
But he was basically who made me get into animation. So that's actually an autograph that was done on a scrap of paper, and there's a little scribble drawing of The Beast as well. And that is probably... it's sitting in a little frame on my desk, and that is the only autograph that I've ever kept.
Mm-hmm.
Most other ones, if I ever end up getting them, I tend to give them new homes, just because I know that people probably would appreciate and connect with it a lot more than I do. Like, there are specific people in my life that I would want to keep signatures from.
Yeah.
And I know that for other people, these actors are probably... some of that for them. So I would rather have someone else have them and know that, you know, that's something that they're going to appreciate a lot.
Yeah.
So
well, thank you for doing that with us. You know, that's very generous and unnecessary, but I'm sure that some people will be very, very thrilled. And yeah, we've done a few giveaways through the podcast before, so we'll work out whether, you know, I mean, Hyperball, we have the option to do like a raffle copter where basically anyone who wants to from either, you know, any social media can enter, and then it's randomized. Or we can, you know, potentially do, you know, some sort of giveaway plan, you know, sob story or whatever. I don't know. We'll have to decide what we think would be the best. But Karen, are you just basking again?
Yes. I'm just thinking... now you guys know why we love Danya so much, because she's just amazing. And I can't even tell you how excited I was when she was like, I asked her if she wanted to be a part of the group, like officially, because she was willing to do all of this. Like, we had barely even spoken,
as
and
like
Courtney was really
just like a listener, or, you know, not a listener. She was friends with our friends, and she was like, oh yeah, I'm going.
Right.
I can help. You know, and you're like, you don't have to do this. This is not your responsibility. Like,
Courtney was telling me all these things. She's like, oh yeah, she's going to get postcards and hand them out. And like, as things got like more and more, like she's like, oh yeah, she's making stickers and all this stuff. I was like, all right, listen, you know, you need to be here with us because you do so much anyway. And she's good at Tumblr too. And we always need Tumblr people. So I asked her and she was like, oh my God, yes. And I was like, oh my God, yes. So it was just as exciting for me as it was for her, I think.
I think that was after I'd only gotten like 2 hours of sleep as well. Yeah. So I woke up to that text message and I like freaked out. Actually, funny story, I freaked out so bad that I flailed my phone out of my hand and it flew across the room.
That's just silly. Like, you shouldn't have even accepted that. You should have been like, I'm going to do this, but I want money and I want credit and I want, you know, I want you to carry me everywhere on a platform, like, you know, like you should have, you know, you
I want a flower crown.
Yeah,
I want a flower
crown. I can get you a flower crown. I can provide that. I can, that can be a thing. But yeah, we just, you know, it would have felt like taking advantage of you to just be, oh, you just go and do all of this stuff for us, little minion. Off you go with your postcards and your, you know, report back. Thank you very much. Like, no, like that wasn't going to happen. I mean, if, you know, if anyone is ever anywhere and they want to talk about the podcast to people, please go ahead and feel free. But the way that, you know, Donya was acting, like, without any expectation, you know, just out of generosity, was very, very unheard of and so nice.
I'm blushing now. Aww. And there are people who went to the convention who will attest to the fact that I blush very, very easily and I get very flustered when I get compliments. And yeah, so I've, like, I'm bright red, right?
Oh, sorry.
You're welcome.
I'm not sure, yeah, if there's anything else about Wolfsbane or if we should sort of sign off until our next bite-sized, but we don't really know what it's going to be about yet, do we?
No, we've got tons of ideas, but if you guys have any other ideas, please let us know through the Tumblr, the Twitter, email. We always check them, read everything. So we've definitely have some things lined up. Not sure exactly what's going to be next, but we do have some cool ideas.
Yeah, we definitely have plans, just not, like, set, like, what will happen in each week. So, we, you know, we did this one, obviously, because it's very relevant to the time period. But, yeah, we shall have to wait and see, I guess, what kind of things. You know, please don't be like, I want you to do, like, a character analysis of Derek and tell us, like, the day before. Because, like, stuff like that takes, like, effort. And, like, we have to think about it and, like, write a document in advance. So, like, give us some ideas either that can be done on the fly or give them to us far enough in advance that we can go and research them. So, yeah. If all else fails, we'll start recapping Being Human. No, we probably won't, because that would just be descend into, like, horror and trauma and violent death. So, yeah. I made Karen start watching Being Human and it was a sad time for everyone. But anyway, I guess until we see you again, let us know if you guys were at Wolfsbane as well. Like, if you guys were there and what you most enjoyed about it, you know, or if you weren't there, what you most are sad to have missed and, you know, the best things to come out of it. And whether you'll be planning to go next year or whether you've got any plans for a Teen Wolf Con anywhere else, like in America or anything like that, because these are run by, like, small convention companies, so you know, another one could happen somewhere else. We'll have to wait and see, I guess. Maybe we should try and run our own. That'll probably go well, right? That'll definitely work.
Yeah.
God, I was just thinking, could I do it? I was like, I've got good logistics skills. I could probably sit down and make it happen if I really wanted to. But I don't know about things about, like, getting insurance. So, like, whatever. We're not going to run a Teen Wolf Con. One day. Maybe in the great unknown, you know, we'll run a Hyperbol Con and, like, get every awesome person from all of our fandoms to come, and that'll never happen. But, oh well. In the meantime, I'm just descending into slight madness now. I think I've still got Lydia as a robot on the brain. So, yeah, send us your pictures from Wolfsbane if you have them and you haven't put them online yet, or tell us what happened and go love Donya. And I'm sure that we'll have pictures online soon of all of the giveaways that she's got to various people, and we will end up, you know, sending those out to people. And it'll be great. But in the meantime, I guess we can say bye now.
Yeah.
And I promise that I'm not, like, oppressing Karen in the corner. She's just, yeah, she's just got too many feelings to talk today.
Yes. Aww. Sorry, guys. I just wanted to let Donya have lots of time to speak because it's all so amazing.
Yeah. Yay. Now everyone's just cooing, sadly.
It's definitely time for me to say goodbye and go to bed.
Oh, it's so late. Yeah, it's very late for Danya. We started at what was like midnight or quarter past midnight for her. So sorry, I totally forgot that. So that was very rude of me. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine.
We'll see you soon, I guess. So
yeah.
Bye to all. So everyone just say bye and then we'll say bye and bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
I always wave. Bye. I'm waving.
I was waving as well.
I guess I'll wave now. Bye, guys.
Bye, Karen.
Bye. Oh, did you guys check your emails? Your hyperbole?
I did get your file. I did get your file, yes. of the audios. I've just been stunned to silence because I've just seen on Tumblr. I'm sure you guys at your local cinemas have seen the One Direction movie standee things where you can take a photo with the One Direction people. I've just seen a photo of Ian McKellen posing as the sixth member of One Direction. God. I literally can't live. I can't move past this moment. That's what makes you beautiful.